you're traveling dark, deserted or dim. Is there hope for tomorrow? Put your trust in Him.
Let's hear it.
On this glory road I'm traveling, many times I stumble on my way, but praise the Lord, I'll soon be leaving for that land of perfect peace and endless day. Now I can see the lights of home, and I can see Him on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm heaven bound. When my journey here shall end, I'll say goodbye to a world of sin. In that fair land, I'll take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory land. Now I can the lights of home, and I can see Him on His throne. I'm too near to turn back now. Oh, praise the Lord, I'm heaven. In that fair land, I'll take my stand. It's good to be on this road for glory, on this road for glory. I'm on this road for glory land.
Take the podium with me.
All right, y'all sounded good up here this morning. Amen.
Well,
I mean, Weezy just created a new rendition of whatever that song was we were singing. I was sitting there singing, and I heard, you know how you're thinking one thing, you're looking at it, but something else is programming in your mind. I was like, I can't sing this song today for some reason. But anyhow, we recovered. Hey, make a joyful noise. Don't matter what verse you're on. Amen. Amen. It's good to see you this morning. Everybody doing okay this week?
Amen.
Amen. If you're glad to be alive, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. I know I am. I'm thankful each and every day God lets me wake up, even though I wake up in shifts. Amen. I shift this way and that way, and then I get up and get on my way. Amen. But I'm just glad I can still get up. Amen. Guys, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 4.
Amen.
Amen. Nehemiah chapter 4. The title of the sermon today is Handling Criticism God's Way. Guys, the whole book of Nehemiah really is about leadership. Nehemiah was a leader. God found favor in him, and God commissioned him to do what we're going to talk about today. But I want to say this, almost everybody who dares to assume the role of leadership as Nehemiah did soon finds himself facing the darts of criticism. It's going to come no matter what role you're in and no matter what capacity you're serving in. It's going to happen. Now, guys, there's two types of criticism. There's positive and there's negative. We need positive criticism to grow, amen? You bring up your children by positively criticizing them. I know what some of you think, my mama ain't never had no positive criticism with me, amen? She just told me like it was. But guys, really and truly, there's two types of this, and we're going to talk about this today. You know, I'm sure that everybody in here has been a target of criticism at some point in time in your life. If you have worked in the public eye, I can guarantee you, you have been a target of criticism. You know, we're quick to criticize our political leaders, but very few of us would dare step in their shoes. I can guarantee you that. So really, I encourage us to pray for them. Do they always make wise and good decisions? No. But, you know, I've always been kind of the mindset that, you know what, if I'm not willing to get in there and do it myself, I need to be praying for them and not be so critical of them. So I want to encourage us to do that. You know, sometimes the criticism, I believe, is deserved, while at other times it may not be. And what Nehemiah was facing here in our text that we're going to read in just a minute, it was some criticism that he didn't deserve to have. He didn't deserve the criticism he was getting. You know, the important question that I want to ask this morning is, how do we respond to criticism, especially that which is destructive and not constructive? Let's get the picture here. I want to kind of lay the background before we read this scripture. Nehemiah was commissioned by God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The walls had been knocked down when Jerusalem was laid captive. The walls were knocked down, and now the Jews were coming back into Jerusalem, and God wanted Nehemiah to rebuild the wall. Well, guys, anytime something needs building, and it doesn't make sense sometimes to do it, there's going to be some opposition. There's going to be some criticism, and that's what we're going to read about in just a minute. Nehemiah faced that. But he did not allow that criticism to dictate what God had called him to do. Guys, I'm going to tell you this. If you're moving in the direction God wants you to move, you'll never be making a mistake. Amen?
Amen.
If you continue to go in the direction God has laid out for you, whether it be a church, whether it be you as an individual, whether it be an organization, you will not go wrong. But when we turn and we try to do things our own way, that's when a lot of times we're going to mess up. And as we're going to see in a minute, Nehemiah was focused. God had called him to a mission, and he was going to make sure that mission was complete. Now, you got to understand, back then, when we're talking about building a wall, this wall was tall. Nowadays, we would have cranes and scaffolds and things like that to make it a whole lot easier. No, they had to just build a rough ladder. They had to bring the rocks up and put them in place by hand. There was no mechanical stuff to help them back in this day. God commissioned them to do this by hand. And I mean, you got to understand, when somebody tears a wall down, they're not concerned with what it looks like when they get done with it. They're just there to destroy it. Anybody ever been involved in having somebody try to knock some walls down in your life? Kind of leave you in shambles and leave you just laying there, and by the grace of God, you were able to rebuild and restore yourself. Amen?
Amen.
That's what it's all about. That's what Nehemiah was commissioned to do. Let's look at the first 9 verses in Nehemiah chapter 4. Those of you that can, I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet in honor of reading God's word. Beginning with verse 1, it says, "But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great indignation and mocked the Jews. And he spake before his brethren in the army of Samaria and said, What are these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, Even that which they build, if a fox go up, he shall even break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. So we built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. But it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the walls of Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped, then they were very wroth and conspired all of them together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. Father God, we just ask now, Lord, you add your blessings to the reading of your word. Let nothing that's said here in the next few minutes be about me or anyone else here, but let it be about you and for your glory, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Guys, the first thing I want to point out to you this morning, as with any destructive criticism, there will always be opposition that will arise. You're going to always have opposition that's going to arise. Here's Nehemiah. God had called him to rebuild this wall, and here's this guy named Sanballat. Who names a kid that anyway? You ever wondered about that? That's a crazy name, Sanballat. I never heard tell of a name like that until I got in the book of Nehemiah and started reading about him. But he was kind of like a governor of some of these provinces around here. He had a little bit of power, but he didn't have power over our God, amen? He didn't realize what he was coming up against, but Nehemiah had been commissioned by the power, the supreme power, and he was going to make sure that he got the job done. But guys, there's going to be opposition. You know, he was opposed to rebuilding of the wall. This man did not want this wall built. Why was this? You know, it made sense to rebuild it. I mean, who wants a bunch of rubble laying around, a bunch of eyesore laying around? It made sense to really rebuild it. But he didn't want that. I believe the reason he was so opposed was because he felt threatened by changes that were occurring. He felt threatened by those changes. So he would rather just have this wall lay in shambles and in ruin than to have change come along. Now guys, when you start talking about change, you lose some people real quick. Because some people are all about the status quo. They want things just like they've always been. But guys, let me tell you something. We like change if it's change that we can see is going to benefit us. We don't mind that. I've said this before, I'm going to say it again today. I don't see anybody going back to burning kerosene lamps and candles. Why? Because we like light, amen? We like to be able to flip a switch and have light in our house. I don't see anybody building an outhouse out back anytime soon, amen? Why? Because we like indoor plumbing. I don't see anybody going to the grocery store in a horse and buggy anymore. Why? Because we like the comfort of transportation. You know why we liked those changes? Because they benefited us. Because we could see the benefit from it. But you see, when you're trusting God to bring change, it's like a whole different ball game. You know why people are so scared to change? Because they can't see it. They can't touch it. They can't feel it. They want to have something right there in front of them. Then change is okay. But I'm here to tell you guys, that's what faith is all about, amen? Amen? Faith is believing in something you cannot see and trusting God to bring that change about through your hands and your feet and your mouths, amen? Amen. That's what he was doing with Nehemiah here. Nehemiah didn't know how long it's going to take to build that wall. All he said was, yes, God, we'll build it. We want that change to come back here into Jerusalem. We want to be safe again. We want to be fortified. Guys, if you're afraid of change, you're never going to be all you can be for God. Amen. You're never going to do the things that God really wants you to do because you're going to be scared to do them. You're going to be afraid to do them. You're going to be concerned that, oh my, this is going to cost a little too much or I don't have the time to do it. Guys, we make time for what we want to do. Amen. That's the bottom line. We will always find time in our schedule to do the things that are important to us. If serving God's important to you, you're going to make time for Him. If serving God's important to you, you will set aside what it is that's distracting you and you will get in His Word. You will read your Bible. You will pray. If it's not that important to you, you're going to go right on about your daily life doing the things you always do. Guys, we got to understand what's important to us here. This is what Nehemiah was faced with here. There was opposition that arose. I'm thankful, and I'm going to put a plug in here to remind you about getting those surveys in. If you don't have one, there's some on the back table. And if you didn't, aren't prepared to do it today, turn it in tomorrow morning for sure. But guys, one of the purposes of this is to hopefully bring about some positive change if we need to. And that's one of the reasons I believe the Lord laid this sermon on my heart here today, is because, you know what? Change is not a bad thing. Change is a good thing when it's moving in the direction God wants you to be in. And that's what Nehemiah was faced with here. As long as the Jews were weak and the wall was down, old Sanballat here, he felt secure. I've got control now. As long as they don't get too numerous and get this wall built back up again, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. You know, because of his fear of losing control, he got angry. And he voiced his anger at not wanting the wall rebuilt. Guys, there's something secure about the status quo. There's something secure about the status quo. In other words, there's something secure about staying the way you've always been. You ever wonder why some churches are just little bitty tiny churches? Because they like to live the status quo. They like to live the way things have been for hundreds and hundreds of years, not intending to ever grow. Forget about the Great Commission. That wasn't for us. God, Jesus meant that for somebody else. When he said, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it did not pertain to our little church. It only pertained to these bigger churches here that had the room. Why do you think those bigger churches had the room? Because they had vision. They had vision. They understood what God was calling them to do in going out and reaching the lost. So there's something secure about the status quo. In any organization, those who are most critical of change are those who are the most inflexible. They're the ones who are the most inflexible. Jesus wants us to be a lump of clay. What can you do with fresh clay? Anybody. You can mold it. You can make it into something beautiful. When you just plop down a big clump of clay on the table and it's all knotted up and everything, does it look real pretty then? But when you mold it out and put it on the potter's wheel and you spin it around and you mold it, you make it into this beautiful vessel and you put it in the kiln and you bake it and you put the paint on it and everything, man, that thing looks beautiful then. You see, that's the way we are. We're this lump of clay, and God wants to mold us. He wants to make us. He wants to put us on that wheel and spin us around a little bit. And he wants to make something beautiful through us and out of us. But we got to be willing. We got to be willing to do that. Guys, I'm going to tell you this. I believe some of the saddest words you will ever hear spoken in a church are these words right here. We've always done it this way. We've always done it this way. Guys, those are some of the most damaging words you'll ever hear in a church. You know why? Because probably the churches that like to say that a lot have never grown and done and become all that God wanted them to be. And I'm not just talking about churches here. I'm talking about a business. I'm talking about your life. I'm talking about your family. You know, this pertains to all walks of life if we think about it. Guys, nobody should ever change anything that is clearly taught in God's Word. I don't believe in that. I do not believe in taking a scripture and twisting it around to make everyone feel comfortable about it. I believe in preaching the truth. I believe God's Word is true. If you believe that, say amen. God's Word is the truth. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It will not change. It has not changed. We have changed. We have taken God's Word and made a mockery of it at points and times in our life. It's okay to do this. Everybody's doing it. Not according to God's Word. So you see, the status quo and doing things the way everybody's always done them and is doing them is not always the best way to handle things, guys. It's not always the best way. I believe with all my heart that God's Word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am, however, suggesting that God expects His church to grow. God expects His church to grow. When Jesus gave the Great Commission, He didn't say, if it's convenient for you, go and make disciples of all nations. He didn't say, if you don't have anything on your schedule this week, how about running out and seeing if you can't get some people to come to your church? No, he said, go. He gave a what? a command to go and make disciples of all nations. It wasn't an option with Jesus. Guys, that's what I need you to do. That's what he was telling his disciples. You 12 men was fixing to be 12. One of them was gone. Matthias had to be appointed a little bit later before Jesus left the earth and was resurrected and went up to heaven. But he commissioned those disciples to go and do this work. Now, do you think those 12 could do all that by themselves? No. You cannot expect 12 people to spread the gospel around the world. What happened when the early church was brought in at Pentecost? Believers got on fire for the Lord, thousands of them being baptized in one day. They in turn went out and spread the word and spread the fire. You see, that's how the word gets going. That's how churches grow. It's not by one or two or three people going out and doing the work. It's by everyone feeling the need to go out and spread the gospel. That's what it's about. Guys, a congregation of Sanballats will never transform the world. They're always going to be critical of everything that's done, and they will not transform the world. We have got to be positive in our approach. We cannot lash out with negative criticism. Guys, positive criticism is great. We need it. We need to know if we're messing up and what we can do to make it better. But we don't need it to be delivered in an ungodly way. That's what I was talking to our youth about this morning. There's a right way and a wrong way to criticize somebody. Now, everybody in this room right here knows good and well you never liked it when somebody approached you in a hostile attitude and got onto you and fussed at you and yelled at you. You probably didn't learn anything from that. But when they took the time and they said, "Can I talk to you for a minute? I just had something on my heart here, and I want to share it with you. I just feel like that you could be so much better in your walk with the Lord. I'm just concerned that you may be getting off the path a little bit. I'm not judging you. I'm simply looking as an observer as to what I see going on in your life. Guys, let me tell you, there's some people in your lives that will come into your life and out of your life. All they say is, why are you judging me? You're not supposed to judge me. Guys, it's not judging someone when you ask them why they're doing a certain thing or if they see a certain thing that's not judging. That's simply giving some constructive criticism as to hopefully what will make them get better. And that's what we need. You know, a lot of people like to play the judgment card. You're judging. No, God is the ultimate judge, amen. But we are fruit inspectors, amen. When you don't see the fruit of the Spirit evidence in people's lives, then it's our job as believers to help them understand, hey, you need to be doing these things and do it with a spirit of goodness and kindness and love. That's not being judgmental. I believe a lot of Christians are afraid to give someone positive criticism because they think that they're going to be judging them, or someone responds to them and says, oh, why are you judging me? I don't want you, you don't need to do that. You're right. We don't need to judge people. But how is anyone going to grow if we don't give them some positive criticism sometimes? So it's okay, guys. It's okay. Guys, the next point I want to make is this. Critics always seek reinforcements. I'm going to have some fun with this one. Whew. Can somebody bump that air down a little bit? I'm getting all hot under the collar up here. Amen. Maybe a degree or two at least. Guys, I'm telling you, opposition likes reinforcement. What happened in this scenario right here with Nehemiah? He wasn't satisfied being the critic himself. What does he go out and do? He goes out and grabs a couple of his friends to join in with him because what? There's strength in numbers, right? We don't like to do things by ourselves a lot of times in the world, but when we go and we get other people joined in with us, we feel bold all of a sudden. I'm not going to go say anything to them, but let me get four or five people with me. By gosh, we'll get up there and we'll tell them like it is. That's how it goes sometimes, isn't it? So critics always seek reinforcements. Anytime there's some criticism voiced, the critics will go looking for others to back them, just as Sanballat did in our text this morning. He went and got his friends to join in with him. And guys, let me tell you how it happens in churches. I'm not just saying Bethesda, this is just churches in general. Here's how it goes down. Man, can you believe what they want to do here? No, here it is. Here it is to begin with. Something's brought up. Somebody doesn't like it. Instead of being constructive with the criticism, here's what happens. Hey, sister so-and-so or brother so-and-so, can you believe what that preacher said the other day? Can you believe what they're suggesting? Hold on, let me make this more realistic. Where'd my cell phone at? I don't even know what it did with the thing. But anyway, okay, yeah, thank you. We have a prop right here. Can you believe the nerve of that man? Can you believe what those deacons are trying to do? Man, I think we need to get together. We need to be sure and have a you and you and you and sister and brother so-and-so at the conference because we need all the votes we can to get rid of that thing. And I mean, you start recruiting. You start recruitment for negativism. You start wanting to recruit people that are going to voice that same kind of displeasure with you without even giving God a chance to work. Amen. We ought to always give God a chance to work. So you see, he went out, Sanballat went out and tried to recruit people to back him up. Guys, when the critics can't stop something, their reaction is usually this. They don't ever want to admit they're wrong. Here's what their reaction is. Well, they may do it, but it's never going to work. It will never work. It won't work. Go ahead and let them do it if they want to. It won't work. And they're the first in line to tell you, I told you so. If by some chance it ain't going the right way all of a sudden. They're the first ones. Anybody ever had somebody tell you, I told you so? If you've had somebody tell you that, raise your hand. Woo, everybody in the church, raise their hand. I told you so. I'm guilty of it, I admit. And you know what? I shouldn't have done that because that casts negativism on a situation. Instead of saying that, a better response would be, you know what? That didn't work out exactly like we had hoped, but you know what? There's probably another way we can do it. There's probably a better way we could do it. And so I told you that. Then you get back home again. Whew, I sure am glad that vote went our way. Boy, I was afraid we was going to have to come out with this, and this. Yeah, well, we stuck it to them today, didn't we? Oh, yeah. All right, you have a blessed day, too. Amen. We'll tell them have a blessed day after we just stuck it to somebody. Woo! How many of you believe a group of Baptists can do that? Say amen. Amen. I guarantee you they can get on the phone now and call up. I know there's got to be an inner circle in here somewhere. Every Baptist church has one. Every Baptist church has got one. Not just Baptist, but any church in general. Guys, they're quick to tell you, I told you so. Guys, the thing we need to remember here is that this was God's wall that was going to be rebuilt by Nehemiah. This was not man's idea. I don't ever want to get in the habit of in this church here of saying, I want this and I want that. I don't want anything but what God wants. Amen. That's the bottom line. That should be the bottom line that drives any church. That should be the bottom line. You know, some criticism is constructive and necessary for the church to grow. That's what we're hoping to get from the surveys we want you to turn in. We want some constructive criticism. What do we need to do better? What are you not seeing that you would like to see? But guys, guess what? If you're willing to criticize, be willing to help. Mm-hmm. Be willing to be a solution to the problem. See, we got plenty of people that'll criticize and tell you what ain't right. But when it comes down to helping get it right, it's like, whoa, I don't know if I got time for that. Hey, can you believe they called? They wanted me to help out with that. Wanted me to help out with that program. You know what? I ain't got time for that program. They shouldn't have started that in the first place. I'm going to be on that phone a while in this sermon, amen? But guys, hey, that criticism by Sanballat in the scripture was not constructive. So how did Nehemiah handle the criticism? He went to God in prayer. That's the first thing he did was got on his knees and went to God in prayer. That ought to be the first thing that we do when we face a critical situation in our life. Get on your knees and ask God for guidance. Ask God for wisdom. Lean not on your own understanding. He will make your paths clear if you just trust in Him and allow Him to be the driving force. He went to God in prayer. This was probably hard for him because, guys, what do most leaders want to do? They want to lash out. Somebody lashes at you, you want to lash out. Guys, we have a natural defense mechanism. When somebody gets in our face and they're all agitated, we want to do the same thing. Why? Because we have pride. We don't want to be shown out. Okay? Kid at school, better I get up in my face. I'm going to show them out, amen. Y'all didn't respond to that, amen. But guys, sometimes I do lose my cool. But when all is said and done, I realize, you know what, I could have handled that a better way. And I'll pull that kid to the side and I'll say, you know what, I shouldn't have lost it like that. But here's what I expect of you. Here's what I expect us to do it the right way. But guys, Nehemiah showed a lot of patience there. Because he could have lashed out. He could have chose to fight back and lash out at Sanballat. But no, he chose to fight the battle on his knees in prayer. Guys, it's when we're on our knees in prayer that we are the strongest. Amen. When we're on our knees in prayer, that's when we're at our strongest point in life. You know why? Because when you get on your knees and pray, you're saying, God, I am going to trust you to handle what I can't handle. I'm going to trust you to give me strength when I feel weak, when I feel like I just can't keep going on. People, when critics come, the first thing that we must do is go to God and seek His peace and retaliate with a gentle answer. Retaliate with a gentle answer. Don't retaliate with some hostile verbiage. I mean, you're going to spout out, you know, anger and bitterness. No, retaliate with a gentle answer. You know, what does the Bible say? We should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. That's why God gave you two ears and one mouth. He wants you to listen twice as much as you speak. Amen. Think about it before you say something. Because once you've said it, and that person is there that you said it about, you will never be able to take that back ever again. You may say, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that about you. I didn't mean that about you. You're not that horrible person I just described you as. But nonetheless, we've said it, right? So it's out there. It's not going to be retractable. And guys, I hate to tell you something. These electronic devices we love so much, you go on there and do the wrong thing on those things, just because you delete it, it's still there, brother. Yep. It's still there. You do not get rid of it. They could pull your phone and find out exactly where you've been for the last 5 months on there if somebody chose to do that. So think about these things, guys. Think about it. We need to give some gentle answers that's going to turn away wrath. Criticism and arguments won't survive alone. If you make it to the point where you don't become the problem, you become the solution, then your critic pool goes from here down to here. And then before you know it, nobody wants to listen to that person because all they do is criticize. They're not willing to help. They're not willing to do what it takes to move in the right direction. So you see, that's what we need to do. And once you pray about your critics, you should do as Nehemiah did and go back to work. Nehemiah prayed and said, God, you need to take care of these people. They're threatening us. We can't do our job because of these people. But guess what he did? He went straight back to work as soon as he got done. Instead of giving in and stopping construction of the wall, they went right back to work. Guys, the critics are going to always be there, but we can't let them stand in the way of doing what God has called us to do. We can't respond like this, because here's what happens a lot of times in churches, businesses, whatever. Folks, we have problems here. There are all kind of critics out there, so I tell you what, let's just shut this thing down. Let's just forget about it. We don't want to ruffle any feathers. Let's just forget about the whole thing, and we'll just move on, and you know, we'll head in a different direction. Guys, that's the easy way out. You know why people who are bad at destructive criticism feel comfortable doing that? Because they're lazy. I'm just going to be honest with you. Destructive critics are generally lazy people. They're easy at pointing fingers at somebody, but when it comes time to rolling your sleeves up and getting the job done, they're like, they got every excuse in the book, amen? So, guys, if you're a go-getter, you're not going to let that stuff affect you. You're going to say, God, I'm going to keep moving on. Moses, when the Israelites were finally delivered out of Egypt, he listened to that grumbling every day. We should have stayed there. We had it better while we were there. God's brought us out here in this desert. We're all going to die. Moses heard it every day, but guess what? He kept focused on what God wanted. He kept going in the direction God wanted him to go. Now, granted, a lot of those Israelites did not make it to the promised land. You know why? Because they were disobedient to God. They wanted to do things their way. But guys, I'm telling you, if you put your trust in the Lord and you roll your sleeves up and you work, even though there's critics about you, you pray to God, you turn it over to Him, and you keep doing His work, amen? You keep moving in that direction. Guys, anytime you face criticism, you should always back up your prayers with action. Keep working. Keep moving in the direction God's called you in. You may say, well, preacher, how do we know what direction that is? You ever heard of a thing called vision? Vision. You know why a lot of people won't change? It's because they have no vision. They want what's in the here and now, and that's it. They want things they can physically put their hands on and manipulate and work with, and that's it. Guys, what is faith? You ever thought about it for a minute? What does it take to have faith? You got to believe in something you can't see. You got to believe in a God you cannot physically put your eyes on, but all I got to do is look around me, amen, and I see He's there, amen. All I got to do is see the birth of an animal or a child or something, and I know my God is for real. So if you can believe in Him and believe He's there, you can believe He's going to get you where He wants you to be, amen. That's why so many people don't have that vision, because they don't have the faith it takes. Faith means, yeah, I got to step out of my boat. I got to step onto the water. And I don't really know if I'm going to sink or I'm going to walk. But I'm going to trust God that I'm going to get where it wants me to be.
Amen.
Peter had faith when he stepped out of that boat. The other 11 were over there cowered down, afraid that the storm was going to kill them. Peter said, Jesus, if that's you, call me out. Amen. Guess what Jesus is doing? He's calling us out, Bethesda Baptist. Come on out here with me. Have faith and trust me. I'll make sure you don't sink.
Amen.
But what are some of us doing? We're running back up in the hull of the boat. We're running all up in there and getting all cuddled up in our comfort zone. Guys, I'm telling you what, you'll never walk on water until you get out of the boat. Amen?
Amen.
It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. The last thing I want to say here is this. Nehemiah, even though he prayed for God to move and take care of that problem, he moved into action. He didn't just sit by. God gives us a thing called common sense, and we got to use it along with everything else that we do. Okay? We got to have some common sense with what we do. So in other words, if we're praying God for God to deliver us and there are things we can do to help that situation out, we need to be doing them. So what did Nehemiah do? He's like, okay, God, they're threatening us, so guess what? I'm going to trust you, but I'm going to go ahead and I believe you want us to get some guards and we're going to post them around this wall we're rebuilding so they can't come in and destroy what we're doing. And after that, the opposition just kind of went, phew. And guess what? They built that wall in record time. I believe the Bible says in like 50 days or so, that wall was rebuilt. Why? Because God's people were moving and doing what God had called them to do, and they didn't stop until the job got done. Amen. They didn't stop until then. I pray today that you'll never be a part of that Sanballat crowd. Don't be quick to criticize, but if criticism is needed, do it in a godly way. We need positive criticism. We really do. Don't be quick to point fingers at those who are trying to run the race and do a good job. Don't be quick to point fingers. You know, there's an old saying, for every finger that you point at somebody, there's usually three or four pointing back at you. Amen. It's easy to be judgmental. I told you at the beginning of the sermon, there's a difference between positive criticism and being judgmental. We need to understand where that line is. Guys, the world is full of those who will stand back and say, why, a fox could jump on that wall and tear it down, just like Sanballat's friend tried to say, well, go ahead and build it, but all it's going to take is a fox to run up that thing. It's going to fall in. It's not going to be built strong enough. But guys, it takes a special person to keep picking up one stone after another and keep putting them on the wall until you get it built. Anyone can be a critic. I'm asking you this morning, are you willing to enter the arena and build that wall for the glory of God? Are you willing to build up Bethesda Baptist Church to be the church that God wants it to be? Amen. Only you can answer that question. I can't answer it for you. But I can tell you this, I'm going to keep praying, but I'm also going to keep working and I'm going to keep moving. I'm not going to become sedentary and say, oh well, Lord, we tried. We did it the best we could. No. Our best is not good enough. We're all filthy rags in God's sight. But you know what? Jesus loved us enough anyway. He died for us. He loves us. He doesn't care about our faults. He wants us to love Him and surrender our life to Him. Will you do that this morning, guys? I'm telling you, the thing that keeps a lot of us back from greatness is a simple word called faith. God can do great things with you if you simply have the faith the size of a grain of mustard seed. That's a little bitty small portion of faith. But with that, the Bible says you can do what? You can move mountains. So if you want to be a mountain mover, you got to have some faith. You got to trust in God, and you got to believe His principles, and you got to follow His word. And I can promise you this, if you do that, then you will handle criticism God's way. Father God, I thank You, Lord, for this day. I just pray, God, that You'll just touch hearts and minds here, Lord. If there's anybody here that needs to accept You as their Savior, I pray today will be the day. Lord, I just pray that, Father, that Your will and Your way will be done here. Lord, we need good, positive criticism when we're doing wrong. We need it to be delivered in a godly way, a way in which it will build us up and not tear us down. Lord, I just pray for any person here today, Lord, that has problems with that, has trouble being a positive person. I just pray for them, God. I pray You'll touch their heart. But Lord, I pray Your will and Your way will be done here. Lord, this is a great church. I love it. I love the people. And I know, God, You're wanting to do great things here, and You're already doing them. And I just pray we'll continue to move in that direction, Father. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. What are we singing?
Hymn number 544.
544. Let's stand and sing hymn number 544.